Welcome. Thank you for tuning in again to the Bible Believers Broadcast, brought to you by the Bible Believers Church of South Lyon, Michigan. We continue now as Pastor Mike takes us through the book of John.
All right, let's pick up here where we left off last time. We're in John chapter number 1, and we left off with verses 12 and 13. And we were discussing from those verses what it means to be saved, what it means to be born again from the Bible, what the Bible teaches us about what it means to know for sure you're going to heaven when you die. If you're interested in hearing that broadcast, you can find it on our church website at bbcosl.com. And just click on the media tab and you'll scroll down there to find the button that says radio broadcasts, the book of John. And I recommend you go and listen to any previous broadcasts if you're interested especially in knowing where you're going when you die. And check that study out if you would. Today we're going to continue with verse number 14 in John chapter 1. And it says this, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." Now, when it says, "And the Word was made flesh," it says, "and the Word." When we come to the word, "Word," it's capitalized again. Just like it was capitalized in the beginning of the book of John, "In the beginning was the Word," capital W, "and the Word was with God," capital W, "and the Word was God," capital W. The same was in the beginning with God. "All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made." So this Word, a proper name for who God's referring to, is the one who created everything. "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness, to bear witness of the light," capital L, "that all men through him might believe. He," in reference to John, "was not that light," capital L, "but was sent to bear witness of that light," capital L, "that was the true light," capital L, "which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. He came unto his own," Israel, "but his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." So obviously, and as we've studied in the past previous six broadcasts, this is referring undoubtedly to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the gospel testimony of John as to Jesus Christ's life and ministry. Then in verse number 14, he says again, "And the Word," the capital W, it's a name for the Lord Jesus Christ, "was made flesh." Don't forget, John 1:1 started out, "The beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God." Not "the Word was a God." I believe we studied that in our very first broadcast on our church website. It's John 1, the very first broadcast. I think we discussed "the Word was a God" and how these false religions and false denominations and false Bible scholars have rewritten the Word of God in order to make it say what they want it to say, trying to take Jesus Christ from being God and lowering him to the state of an angel or the state of a God or to the state of a created being of God. And if you do that, you lose your salvation. I'm not saying that a born-again person loses their salvation. I'm saying if you don't believe that Jesus Christ is God, you cannot be saved. You have to understand who Jesus Christ is. He is God made flesh. 1 Timothy chapter number 3. 1 Timothy chapter number 3 nails it down. Now here's a trick of the tradesman. A trick of the tradesman, when I say tradesman, I mean those who use religion to make their money. It's their trade. Here's the trick. The trick is to take a verse out of context and build a doctrine based on a verse. That is a very dangerous way to handle the Bible. The Bible even warns us of that. The Bible says it's they that wrest the Scripture to their own destruction. You got to be very careful about wresting and twisting the Scripture. You never pull a verse out of context and try to make it say what you want it to say. Above and beyond that, the Bible says no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. Now people take that and they twist that verse to say, well, everybody has their own interpretation. You have your interpretation, I have my interpretation, and that's just your interpretation of the Bible. Well, God said no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. You're not allowed to privately interpret what God says. What you're supposed to do is believe what God says, study what God says, and study it the way God said to study it. In the Old Testament, he gave us clear direction on how we're to study. He says line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. You have to balance the Scriptures with the Scriptures, rightly dividing the word of truth, it says in Timothy. So we have to make sure that we don't just pull out one verse and try to build a doctrine based on that one verse. We need to study other verses of the Bible that speak on the same subject and continue to prove that point. Kind of like the verily, verily, Jesus, every time he was talking, or many times when he was talking, he'd say, verily, verily. He'd confirm what he was saying. He wouldn't just say it one time and let it go. He'd confirm it. Well, throughout the Bible, when it comes to major doctrines that impact our eternity, that impact our soul, that impact what we're to believe and how we're to function, God over and over again confirms what he's saying so as to leave no doubt in our mind as to the truth. And yet, for some reason, people love to jump on those ambiguous passages. People love to jump on that one scripture that's confusing and just latch onto that and just revel in that and rest it and twist it. And you'll find then one denomination will twist it to mean what they want it to mean, and the next guy will twist it to mean what he wants it to mean. And then they meet each other and they begin arguing with circular argumentation and circular reasoning, and nobody wins, everybody loses. When really all we need to do is stop arguing. Stop allowing our minds to be twisted up by the confusion of the devil. God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. So we need to stop allowing the confusion and start studying the Word so we can find out what God has to say. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse number 16. And without controversy, there's nothing to argue about here. There's no controversy to this. If you argue, it's because you're arguing with God and you don't want to face the truth. Without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. Then there's a colon. Why the colon? Because God is fixing to explain what the mystery of godliness is to us. It says God. Listen, God was manifest in the flesh. That's Jesus Christ. Justified in the Spirit. At the beginning of his ministry, when he was baptized, the Bible says they saw the Spirit descend from heaven like a dove and abode on him, and a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." Seen of angels. Angels came and ministered unto him. Preached unto the Gentiles. Glory to God for that. I'm doing that right now. Believed on in the world. I've believed on Jesus Christ, and throughout the centuries, many, 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 many millions have believed on Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord for that. Received up into glory. So while he was here, many believed on him. And then he is received up into glory. He ever liveth to make intercession for us. He's seated at the right hand of the throne of God. He's the mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And then there's a comma there. And it says, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, in parentheses. Well, that only begotten of the Father has nothing to do with eternity past. Why do I say that? I say that because some false religions teach you that Jesus was begotten of God at some point in eternity past. But that is to pull the verse out of context and make it say what you want it to say. That is something you will answer to God Almighty for when you see him. That, and we beheld his glory, the glory is of the only begotten of the Father, in parentheses, is in reference to the Word was made flesh. The begottenness of Jesus Christ was in the flesh. It was in time. It was here on this planet. It was that virgin birth. Folks, it was not back in eternity. It has nothing to do with eternity. The Word was with God and the Word was God. He already explained that to us at the beginning of the chapter. The same was in the beginning. When the beginning began, he was there. Because they say Jesus is the beginning of the creation of God. The first thing God created was Jesus. That is a heresy. That is false doctrine. That is a lie from the pit of hell. That is not Bible. He was in the beginning with God. When the beginning began, Jesus was there with God. So when verse number 14, when it says, "And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father," that is in reference to the Word being made flesh. He's the only begotten Son. He's the only man that God birthed through a woman, begotten. You see, Adam was created as a grown man. He wasn't begotten. He was created out of the dust of the earth. No woman involved. All right? Full of grace and truth. Jesus Christ is full of grace and truth. What is grace? Grace is unmerited favor. You cannot earn grace. It is unmerited favor. The acronym is very good. I've heard, and many of you I'm sure have heard before. It stands for God's riches at Christ's expense. G-R-A-C-E. Full of grace and truth. In other words, it's paying a price for somebody else you didn't owe and they didn't deserve. But you love them enough to pay for it anyhow. Whether they were ever going to do you good or not. Whether they were ever going to receive you or not, you did it anyhow. Grace is something that is just, it just defies human nature. It defies human emotion. It defies human understanding. Grace is something that we ought to have as Christians. Grace is something we ought to exercise ourselves in as Christians. But grace is something we would know nothing of without Jesus Christ and his example. He's full of grace, and not just grace, but and truth. I'm telling you, I love the truth. There is nothing like studying the Word of God and knowing what I believe and why. And then by the grace of God, being able to teach truth to somebody else. I love watching the folks who faithfully and regularly attend our church services over the years. And they grow in the Lord and they learn more truth and they become established in the faith. Truth is a wonderful thing, but truth must be balanced with grace. We need to be gracious Christians and truthful Christians. Verse number 15 says this, John bare witness of him and cried, saying, "This is he of whom I spake, he that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me." Now this is he speaking still of the Word who was made flesh, Jesus Christ. You see, folks, Jesus Christ is definitely God. He is before me, John says. He was before me. He was in eternity past. I want to read to you another verse here before we close. It's in Revelation and chapter number 19. And starting in verse number 13, the Bible says, "And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood. And his name is called the Word of God," all caps. "And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, clean and white. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, with that with it he should smite the nations. And he shall rule them with a rod of iron. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. He hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords." Folks, the last time the people on this earth saw that name was over the cross of Calvary, where it said, "This is Jesus of Nazareth, the King of the Jews, the Lord they crucified, the Lamb of God coming back as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus." Until tomorrow, God bless you.
And that's it for today's broadcast. Thank you for listening. If you would like to catch up on any of the messages that you might have missed, you can do so online at bbcosl.com. There you can also contact Pastor Mike directly. We would love to hear from you and your reaction to any of these messages and any questions that you might have. Please like us on Facebook as well. The Bible Believers Church of South Lyon, Michigan. Tune in again tomorrow and every Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday at 5:15 p.m. The Lord Jesus Christ is coming back. We're looking forward to that day. God bless.